In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian, and his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
I know that this has been much in the news, the Supreme Court nomination of Elena Kagan and her confirmation hearings. A little bit later in the program, we're actually going to have the rare and very great opportunity to talk to Dr. Robert George of Princeton University and get his rather expertise thoughts on some of the things said last week during those confirmation hearings on issues like gay marriage, abortion, and a couple other things. Also, just recently, a judge ruled DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, unconstitutional. We'll see what Dr. Robert George thinks about that. That's the second hour of the program. The first hour, as usual, on Friday afternoons, and this is Friday afternoon, July the 9th, we're coming to you live on Issues Etc., listener email, then blog of the week. As I mentioned before, Dr. Robert George will be our guest in the second hour. We'll do a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. All you do is listen, and then you vote for soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page and vote for soundbite of the week, facebook.com/IssuesETC. As usual, email. We do have a visitor in the studio. We always like to acknowledge our
visitors. It's not just a visitor. This guy's a celebrity. Evan Gagline, co-host of Table Talk Radio with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I mean, I'm actually very nervous. He's sitting right behind me. This guy's
a
star.
You were rehearsing rather intently. I mean, he usually rehearses his email reading if he has time, but he was really cramming this time. I don't think he wants to make any mistakes.
I want to impress him.
Whatsoever.
I want to impress him. Hey, before we get to email,
yeah,
you know, we used to work at KFUO Radio in St. Louis.
And I remember
they had
that,
two
yeah.
stations. They had a the station we were on that was music and Christian talk. KFUO AM, and then the FM side, which was just taken over this week by a contemporary Christian music station. It used to be classical music when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod owned it. Now it's a contemporary Christian music station. So I thought maybe we should check in and see what the new...
see how it sounds?
See how Joy FM sounds. This used to be KFUO FM. Loving your husband, that is good.
Yeah, it still is KFUO FM.
That's right. It still is KFUO FM. It's 99.1 Joy FM,
right.
I think is what their slogan is.
Sounds different. There's no doubt about that.
Turn up the music.
Okay.
All right. Well, so that's what we've got over there.
Okay, that's
KFUO FM.
All right, do we have KFUO FM? Can we join them?
KFUO AM.
Yeah,
this is now what Craig's next going to play is what our former employer, KFUO. We worked on KFUO AM side.
What do
we got there, Craigie? Guitar.
No brighter star has ever shined. No better.
And this is joining them in progress, is there? There may be a little bit of a delay.
No, not one.
Sounds the same, doesn't it?
It does to me.
Well, at least it's consistent. You know what I mean? It's remarkable how much it sounds the same. I mean, two contemporary Christian music stations in one market. The KFUO FM signal is actually the strongest signal in the St. Louis market. It's a 100,000-watt FM station. There are no other 100,000-watt FM stations. It's the strongest FM signal.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's true. I heard Charlie Brennan KMUX say that, but I think he was saying that because where it's considered the most powerful, it's in the middle of the
where
dial.
Where it's positioned on the dial and
I don't know if we should say for certainty it's the only 100,000-watt FM station in St. Louis. I don't know.
It is a strong signal.
It's as strong as you can get.
Right. So, you're talking about the competition between two radio stations in the same market, one that's 5,000 watts AM from dawn to dusk and one that's 100,000 watts 24 hours, that's a tough competition, if you ask me, if you're going to compete in contemporary Christian music, which is, what they're going to have to do.
What makes no sense to me is we were told that KFUO FM had all these listeners that listened to the Classic 99. Why are they not playing classical music? There's no classical music station in St. Louis.
On the AM station.
KFUO AM.
I don't know.
Now they'll say, oh, but they want high fidelity FM. Most of the people listening to Classic 99, they lost their hearing a long time ago. Okay?
Now, come on.
But,
They didn't lose their hearing.
Yeah, they lose their hearing. But they're not into hi-fi,
Right. They're not necessarily audiophiles like the way a lot of young people are today who demand everything to be absolutely pristine and perfect and clean.
Much better said. You just said.
Right. That's why I said it.
I take back. We'll edit that in post-production, what I said there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Well, do we know? If we would have brought that up, it was like we get the LCMS Sonatocrat Bob.
Head Bob.
Head Bob. And now Wilkin Schwartz, go in the corner with your crayons.
I've got a banner up here that says, is this good for the company? But I'm going to replace it with, what do we know? Actually, that would be a great liner for the show. What do we know? Which I found myself saying an awful lot when we were with our former employer. You're right. All right, get to the email, please.
All right, here's Steve. I'm writing this to comment on a comment on last week's listener segment. I listen every day to your program on demand. I want to preface this by admitting that as an Irish Catholic from Boston, I am very familiar with the don't get mad, get even viewpoint, and even take some pleasure myself in seeing this put into action sometimes. In spite of that, I do agree that the critical remarks about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod presidency should be avoided as often as possible. It doesn't reflect well on you, a very moderate and very fair individual. It makes me wince when you take a swipe at them. Basically, I'm asking you to do as I say, not as I do. I made the same point to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod president when they were acting childish at the time of your leaving KFUO. I forget the particular instance that caused me to email, but I told them that the LCMS should get over it and not bring discredit to the church as a whole, writes Steve. Thanks for the email, Steve.
Well, I appreciate you characterizing me as a moderate and fair individual. I try to be. And it really is out of moderation and a sense of fairness that I do speak up, critiquing, often with the aid of guests, critiquing some of the plans and proposals that have been put forward under the leadership of President Gerald Kishnick. It's from that sense of moderation and fairness. I think people do need to understand what's going on. I endeavor to my very best ability, obviously always stained with sin, not to go ad hominem, that is, not to speak to the man, but to the issues that surround him. So I take your suggestion under advisement. I think that part of being responsible with the position that I have behind this microphone is to, especially someone who dearly loves my own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the son of the church from my very baptism, to actually speak in critiquing when it's necessary. So thank you very much. Let's go to the phone, see what Millie has to say in St. Louis. Hi, Millie.
Hi. I just want to tell you, it's before your time and Jeff's time, but we had classical music on KFUO AM all the time, okay? And it was known at 6 o'clock in the evening as the concert hour. Now, I know they cut back after a certain month, right?
They do that because they
have to go off
the air early. Yeah,
right. But my father came home from work, even though we had Bebop on before he came home on KWK, which is no more. The station went to that, and classical music was played on the station, and we listened to it as we sat around the supper table and ate. And at all the other, you know, they could have had some others. We never had all that talk. And in fact, we even had AM, Concordia, the chapel services, which my mother listened to all the time and got us kiddos to listen to it. It has changed too bad, too dramatically. Okay?
Yeah, Millie, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Yeah, I was aware that there was a classical history to the AM station as well. They actually simulcast classical music and some religious talk, very little religious talk. And I remember being, when I worked at KFUO, at first a couple of years there, naively suggesting that they run chapel services from one or both of the seminaries and being told that that wasn't going to happen. And then at another time, naively suggesting that they run sacred classical music in those long hours of the summer when they stayed on the air until about 9 o'clock at night sometimes after live programming. Why not just do summer sacred classics? And I was told that wasn't going to happen either. There is a history there for doing this. And Millie, I think the best thing you could do is probably call the management at KFUO and ask them the very same questions that I've been asking that you've been asking me. When we come back, more of your email, your phone calls, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. That email address, any old time, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Bozeman.
email, as usual, on Friday afternoon here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. What's next, Jeff? Did we cover... I think I covered the email from before. Oh, Jeff's busy doing something else, as usual. When he should be paying attention, he's doing something else.
How dare you answer the phone? What was your question?
I was just asking what was next by way of email.
This is Susan. She said, I hope you'll forgive me if I'm unfairly criticizing the recent program, Glenn Beck, Mormonism, David Barton, and American History. I found it to be an unsatisfying program and almost a superficial screed that did not seem to address the core of the deceptions and seductions we face as Christians in attempting to understand the political and cultural climate we are living in. I should be thankful for the warning about Beck, Barton, and Mormonism, and etc., but I found myself frustrated with the program's critique. I realize now that my frustration with the program was that I was feeling overwhelmed by the chaos we are living in and wanted a better foundation for discernment rather than an informational lecture. And then Susan recommends a book by somebody you interviewed recently, Bishop C. Fitzsimmons Allison, entitled Trust in an Age of Arrogance. Susan, thanks for the email and thanks for listening.
Yeah, Susan, I understand. I mean, here's the danger. We live in difficult times, economic times. We live in times where people are looking for answers to questions. Now, the reason we did the show with Dr. Montgomery, evaluating the claims and the various teachings of Glenn Beck and David Barton. By the way, I've interviewed David Barton, and you might be interested to know that the things that he is asserting when he goes on the air or on the road with Glenn Beck about America being a Christian nation, I could not get him to say that when I interviewed him. He's a smart guy. He sensed very quickly that I was asking questions from kind of a critical standpoint, and I simply could not get him to say, well, America is a Christian nation or the founders were Christians. He backed off a lot of bit on that stuff. Now, he's found a new venue with Glenn Beck, and I think what is the concerns that led us to deal with that issue is, number one, a lot of people are getting their information from Glenn Beck and David Barton. Glenn Beck is a very talented communicator. He used to be one of my favorite radio talk show hosts. His show, before it kind of went political, was brilliant. That's the only word I can use for it. It was, my jaw dropped almost daily at how good that show was. And I have several concerns there. Number one, when you have a Mormon, a thoroughgoing Mormon, and a Christian talking about their common Christian roots of this country, I'm a little concerned because the Mormon view of American history is very different from the real story. And the whole Christian nation view of American history is also very different from the real story. Just trying to set the record straight. Now, I understand that people are looking for, in the chaos of these times, looking for answers. What we were trying to do is correct some of the things that were being asserted by Glenn Beck and David Barton. And Dr. Montgomery is the best person to do this. You said kind of a superficial screed. I really don't think it was, Susan. I think Dr. Montgomery was trying to go to the very heart of the claims. If this is a Christian nation, certain things have to be the case. And I think he made a very clear case that you cannot find anything explicitly Christian, that is, confessing Christ. You can find Christian influence, Christian morality, all of those things at the foundation of the American experiment. But you cannot find in the minds of those who are founding this nation or in their writings an intent to begin a Christian nation. So let's be careful about what terms we use to describe things. We are a secular republic populated largely, both then and now, by Christians, informed by a Christian worldview and highly influenced by Christian morality and the way of thinking. But that doesn't make us a Christian nation. What's next?
Can I give a brief rant about Mr. Beck?
Go ahead. I've heard it before, but you can go ahead and do it.
Here's what, you know, we talked a lot about Dan Brown, the
author of the
Da Vinci Code, yeah, and Angels and Demons and those things, how he waxes eloquently as an expert in art, history, theology. And what did we say? He was what? A former high school English teacher.
Right. What is his expertise? What is his qualification to speak authoritatively on those things?
So where do we get to the point, where do we come to this point where people, conservatives, and I consider myself definitely a social conservative, got to the point where the person that people are learning American history from is from a guy whose highest level of education is a high school degree, Glenn Beck, who is a former rock and roll DJ.
In other words, same question.
Same question. I mean, what we don't expect people to bring credentials to speak authoritatively and as an expert on issues anymore. All I'm saying is, if we're going to criticize Dan Brown for being a high school English teacher and then going and acting like he's an expert in philosophy, religion, art, and history, then the same thing should apply to somebody on the right like Glenn Beck, who again is a high school educated former rock and roll DJ now teaching American history. And that's all I'm saying.
If Glenn wanted to have bona fide experts in history on his program to fill in the gaps of my knowledge,
he does.
And his
in his defense, he does occasionally, but David Barton is not an expert in history.
Well, I don't think he is either. I don't even know if he'd claim to be an expert in history.
Oh, yes, he would.
Okay. Well, you know more about him than I do. But the other thing that concerned me about the whole scenario that's set up by David Barton and Glenn Beck is that they kind of presented it this way. Here's what really happened. Anyone who tells you different is a socialist. Here's who these guys really were. Anyone who tells you anything different is a progressive. And so without even examining the claims of scholarship on both sides, they just simply declare anything that is contrary to their viewpoint of American history, Christian nation, in Glenn Beck's case, who knows about the Mormon claims of history. Anyone who disagrees with it is got to have a socialist agenda. They got to be one of those progressives trying to undermine our nation. That's just simply not fair.
That leads perfectly in our next email from Barbara. She says, just listen to Dr. John Wark Montgomery on Glenn Beck. I'm very political, and I'd like to think I have a good view on the two kingdoms. And I'm also a real good listener. Dr. Montgomery couldn't be more right. Barton has been on shows with Word Faith people. As far as his beliefs go, they mustn't be very defined. He speaks of God very politically. While engaging in conversation on a particular political site some time ago, I mentioned that we should be careful about Glenn Beck since he was clearly blending the two kingdoms and he's a Mormon. Well, you can imagine what hit the fan. I was actually called a communist plant. Really? Me? My sites and my posts are so very anti any form of collectivism. But if you criticize Glenn Beck, you will instantly be attacked. Barbara continues, I'm engaged in politics because I think it's part of being a good citizen. But there is a strange new worship spreading among us. Beck is defying the founders, which fits well with his Mormonism, but Christians are jumping on the bandwagon. There's also a kind of soldier worship going on. I've even had controversies with Christians using the imprecatory psalms against President Obama. Hey, I want him gone too, but through an election. Many Christians did similar things about President Bush. Many called for his death. There were books written on assassinating him. Churches preached against him. American Christians today on all sides are much more American than Christian.
Couldn't have said it better. Could not have said it better.
There's also a belief that America is God's country and no other country is. All this is happening as various forms of collectivism are taking us by storm. In the midst of the palpable turmoil today, the main form of Christianity that I am being bombarded with is this noxious blend word faith affirmation, God wants us to be successful and happy stuff. It crosses all boundaries. It's also in my own church. They actually have spoken of happiness surveys to prove our rightness. Christians are happier than others, you know. None of that Man of Sorrow stuff required. It's as if Jesus is a sidebar at best. Christians that are on the web, whether social networking, Twitter, etc., have a great chance to speak a true word of Christ. Maybe someone will hear, but you may lose some friends along the way, concludes Barbara.
Well, by the way, we've got one of our sound bites of the week that's coming up here in about, 45 minutes or so, is an excerpt from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's thoughts on Glenn Beck, Mormonism, David Barton, wall builders, and American history. And he addresses the issue of just because a politician quotes the Bible or the founders quoted the Bible, does that necessarily make them Christian? One of the sound bites you might want to consider for soundbite of the week. What are we asking for? All I'm asking for is that Christians think critically. When you encounter someone who says, this is the way it is, and anyone who tells you different, don't even examine their viewpoint. I can tell you what it is. It's communism, it's progressivism, it's collectivism. They're asking you not to think. Is communism evil? It's far more evil than I think people give it credit for. It's evil for reasons far beyond the fact that it takes your stuff away from you and your freedoms away from you. So if we're going to combat what we fear is kind of creeping communism or creeping socialism or creeping progressivism or creeping collectivism, you better do it with your mind open, understanding the claims of both sides. And anyone who says stop thinking in one form or another, stop thinking, is giving you bad advice. Any more? Oh, no, we're coming up on a break, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Then that means I have to talk for a few more minutes. When we come back, a little bit more listener email, then Issues Etc. Blog of the Week. We're actually going to devote a little more time to Blog of the Week this Friday afternoon, July the 9th, because there's a question in there in my pick for Blog of the Week. In fact, a series of questions there that I feel compelled to answer. We'll do that here in about another 15 minutes on Issues Etc. Dr. Robert George will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about two issues, the nomination of Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court and a federal judge's ruling in Boston yesterday that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. Then, comment line and Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just woke me a little.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We still have a pastor on staff. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The American Society for Reproductive Medicine is going after the term embryo adoption. They're trying to discredit the term by saying adoption can't apply to embryos. They want us to use embryo donation instead. This group says a home study shouldn't be required for embryo adoption. You see, they want to dehumanize these tiny human beings and eliminate any restrictions on their practice of reproductive medicine. This is hypocrisy coming from a group that supports surrogacy. This is very similar to when we saw Planned Parenthood go after regular adoption. It stood in their way of selling abortion and making money off it. We saw hypocrisy from them also when they claimed to be pro-choice, but look the other way from forced abortion in China.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, July the 9th. We're going through your email. You could always email us. We don't always respond, but we do take Friday afternoons to try and respond to as much of the email as we possibly can. Critical email gets pushed to the front of the line. If you've emailed us recently, you haven't heard it, and you do want to hear it, email us again and just let us know that you want to hear a response to your email, and we'll try and push it up the pipeline. What's next?
This comes from James in Illinois. He says, first of all, congratulations on your second anniversary. Your show has been a great blessing to me. I wanted to write with regard to the pastor's roundtable on the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. I believe I might have responded to one area of the discussion a bit differently than the panel did. The area has to do with the large salaries that some celebrities and CEOs receive. I would be very reluctant to automatically accuse them of breaking the seventh commandment. Some people have been honestly blessed with large fortunes by the grace of God. The patriarch Abraham comes to mind. I am concerned because some politicians have used our covetous nature to create class envy between the rich and the not-so-rich. They have made it very easy to paint all wealthy people with the corruption brush. We should be very careful not to fall into this way of thinking. Certainly some fortunes were acquired illegally or unethically. Nevertheless, a large salary does not always point to sin. I would urge caution lest when we accuse someone of breaking the commandment 7, we're actually breaking commandment 9. Once again, congratulations on your second anniversary. I greatly appreciate all that you guys do over there, writes James in Illinois.
I can't remember exactly the conclusions that the pastor's roundtable came to on that one. But if I do remember asking the question, can you just make too much money? And I think without a lot further comment, the panel members said, yeah, there's probably kind of a salary past which no one should go. Okay, so look, I think we were talking about LeBron James signing, and he has signed now for an undisclosed amount of money. But it's going to be big, even if it's not in all in salary. It's going to be enormous, more money than any of us will ever see in our entire lives. And he'll get it all in the span of a couple of years. And along with it, a lot of other income, which he works very hard to earn. I think what the panel did say is it kind of depends on what someone on the receiving end of that kind of largesse, those kind of earnings does and how they're disposed toward the money or the income or the great wealth that they have. Of course, that could be said of anyone at any income level, big or small, don't you think? You do not have to be a rich person to be overtaken by riches. You don't have to be wealthy to be consumed by wealth. You don't have to make a lot of money to be mastered by the money you make. Of course, that's the whole point of that commandment, or at least one of the points of that commandment. The Bible says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It doesn't say if riches increase past a certain point. It simply says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It's good advice. It's impossible for us to keep. We always end up, to one degree or another, setting our hearts on the riches that God gives us. We make the gift rather than the giver, our God. So I think the emailer is quite right. It does always come back to a first commandment issue, too.
Regarding your statement, what do we know? Tom in San Angelo, Texas just sent this email. You know Christ and Him crucified. That's all that matters. God's continued blessings, even though it's a stumbling block, foolishness, etc., you, by the grace of God, have it all together. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening to Texas,
yeah,
Tom.
If he only knew. Tom, thank you very much for listening to Texas. We do not have it all together. I don't have it all together. I just told someone last night, if anyone around me, including my listeners, knew how little together I have it, they wouldn't listen to a thing I say. It's only their, by God's sheer grace and their sheer ignorance of who I really am and what's really going on in my heart, that anybody takes the time to listen to anything I have to say under any circumstances. I firmly believe that.
But it's the message. It's the confession.
Absolutely. Which is independent of the person.
Exactly.
Independent of the person. Thank God it is. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to listen to any of it.
Lots of feedback from your interview with Dr. T. David Gordon on the pop culture and church music. This one comes from Martha in West Virginia. Thank you for the interview with Dr. Gordon. He echoed many of my own thoughts regarding liturgical versus contemporary worship. My family recently attended the convention of a different Lutheran denomination. The first night, a traditional worship service was held with glorious music, liturgy, and Christ-focused preaching. The next evening, there was a contemporary service. The contrast was striking. Almost all aspects of the contemporary service were inferior to the liturgical service. Without the rich, Christ-centered liturgy, the service was weak. Even my 13-year-old much preferred the liturgical service, evidence that you don't need contemporary music to appeal to young people. I bought Dr. Gordon's book, and I'm about a third of the way through it. It's particularly interesting to me since as a music teacher in a Christian school, I have firsthand knowledge of the lack of appreciation for the great hymns of the faith many of my students evidence. I'm doing what I can to cultivate my students' taste away from the exclusive pop music and toward music of lasting value. It's not always easy, as you can imagine, but I've seen some success. Anyway, thank you for the interview with Dr. Gordon. I hope there will be more like it on Issues, etc. And Martha concludes, and thank you for the very enjoyable time at your studio about a month ago. It was a highlight of our trip and so much fun to meet you all. Congratulations on your second anniversary. May you have many, many more. Thanks for the email, Martha in West Virginia.
Thank you, Martha. I think about it this way. I have seen the historic liturgy ruined by bad preaching or tainted by bad preaching right there in the midst. The liturgy is screaming the gospel and the sermon doesn't. It either whispers the gospel or it doesn't say anything about the gospel whatsoever. I've seen that happen. But the liturgy still screams the gospel. I have seen contemporary Christian worship saved by good preaching, or at least fill in the gaps where the bad liturgy falls down, where the liturgy either knows nothing of the true gospel, doesn't mention Christ, the songs talk a lot about who I am and what I feel, and maybe at the best whispers the gospel message, the message of the cross, and then the preacher comes and fills in all the gaps with good law and gospel preaching. Why can't we put good liturgy and good preaching together and keep it that way? Why should the preacher have to make up for what lacks in the liturgy? And I would say, on the very same hand, why should the liturgy have to make up for bad preaching? Let's have both together. Good liturgy that screams the gospel and good preaching that does the same. Where people can walk out, whether it's the liturgy or the preaching, and say, I got Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what the church insisted on for the better part of its history. They settled for nothing less, especially the Reformation wing of the church. They settled for nothing less than a liturgy that spoke the gospel so clearly, so plainly. And the same from the preaching. I don't think they ever would have considered settling for, well, you know, we can have bad preaching because the liturgy will make up for it, or we can have a weak, almost gospelless, Christless liturgy because the preacher will make up for it. And sad to say, more often is the case that when the liturgy is that weak, eventually in time, it leads to weak preaching too.
Here's some more feedback regarding your interview with Dr. Gordon. Sean in Grand Island, Nebraska. I want to thank you for your excellent interview with Dr. Gordon. I am currently pursuing a Master of Music degree, and this summer I'm taking coursework involving the philosophy of music and music education. The interview lined up perfectly with my coursework as I am struggling a bit with music's role in public education and its relation with my confessional Lutheran heritage. I've ordered his book and look forward to further study in the matter. Would love any similar interviews and really enjoy the hymn studies. Keep up the great work from an on-demand listener, Sean in Grand Island, Nebraska.
Was he talking about T. David Gordon? He was. Look, I'll tell you this much. I haven't come across a single book until Dr. Gordon's book that deals with the issue of church music the way he does. I would call his book, now there may be thinkers out there who thought the same thoughts, but I would call his book a genuine breakthrough in the debate, a genuine bona fide sea change in the debate about church music. He would say church song. And lo and behold, it had to come from outside the pale of Lutheranism, which, you know, I feel sad about that, but I'm glad that it came nonetheless. Discovering that people outside the pale of Lutheranism have been struggling with these things longer than we have and had more time to think about them and come to the right conclusions. I do recommend that book. It's called Why Johnny Can't Sing Hymns. And he has done the research. He's thought it through very carefully. And I think he has moved the debate ahead one giant step.
Quick email from Perry. I was listening to Jeff talk with Todd about the silo reflection time over a beer in his youth. as I am also 46 and grew up on a farm, I want to say I too climbed our 80-foot harvester silo, though not for deep thinking or relaxing with an adult beverage. My father had built a simple wooden cross with blue lights about 4 feet by 8 feet and placed it on top of this 80-foot silo. We on occasion went up to maintain it for the Christmas season. Anyway, the cross was visible from about 4 to 5 miles around at night. So yes, there are reasons for climbing up a large silo on occasion, concludes Perry.
I can't think of a better way or a better reason to climb a silo than to make the cross visible from a great distance. Would that more churches did the same thing, not only in visually, but in what they say and sing and pray and preach. When we come back, Issues Etc. blog of the week will be answering some questions from a very interesting blog that I picked.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.